Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Well, it is that time, my friends, my favourite time of the week, when we get to talk about the celebs in our pop culture slot. As we review the news at the start of the show on Saturday, we review the even more important news at the end of the show on a Sunday. Is that bad? Should I not say that? I mean, look, to each his own. We all have our priorities. No, I'm fully joking. I don't actually think the pop culture news is more important than actual news. However, it is that time where we discuss the pop culture. And there's lots to talk about today. I'm joined by our very own Connor Behan.
Yes.
And we've loads to get through. Let's start with Adele. I mean, it was all about Adele this week, wasn't it?
I know. So we kind of went from, ooh, we think we might have an Adele album at some point this year. There's possibly billboards being teased around the world, who knows, to, hey, I'm back with a new single on the 15th of October. Here's 15 seconds of it, and here I am on two Vogue covers at once, which is rare. British Vogue and US Vogue both had stunning Adele photo shoots and separate interviews. I kind of thought at first they'd be the same interview with maybe different photo shoots. No, it's two different shots. So we've learned a lot, it seems, about the new album and where Adele is in her life after, in true Adele fashion, a lot of time away from the spotlight.
Yeah, yeah. Because she comes, she gives us like a beautiful dose of Adele, and then she goes and she's gone. And like, she gives you nothing then for years, which is, I think, a very effective way to market yourself, actually, and probably a healthy way to live, or as healthy as you can be in the kind of superstardom that she lives within.
And it's rare too, because, you know, Adele takes quite a bit of time between albums, which is happening less and less. Big pop stars, there's a pressure on them to have more material out more often because of streaming.
Well, got like Ariana is popping out an album every 6 months.
Yeah. And then also the fact that Adele has a big social media following and does post the odd thing on Instagram, but she is not, you know, like, hey guys, I'm doing content every day. The label wants me to do content. She's very much on her own terms. So it's fun seeing that in the celebrity social media era, where it feels like even the world's biggest stars are playing the Instagram game.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And as you said, two interviews, so a lot to take from them, and two stunning photo shoots. I mean, it would be weird if we didn't acknowledge the fact that Adele has had a physical transformation since the last album. She talked about that, didn't she?
Yeah, she talked about the fact that she basically embraced working out in a big way over the last few years to help her with anxiety, to give her something else to focus on. And she kind of said to stop her looking at her phone. I was like, you know what? That's how you sell me on gyms and fitness. Stop me looking at my phone. I'm like, when you put it that way. She did mention that a lot of the stories about the trainer she worked with and the alleged crazy diet she did were in fact completely false, and that like she didn't do it for any kind of like aesthetic reasons or to look a certain way. It's purely for her own headspace. And she acknowledged that she trains up to 2-3 times a day, and admits that, I was basically unemployed when I was doing it, and I do it with my trainers. She said it's not doable for a lot of people, like, and acknowledging that she is very wealthy and in a certain position where she can focus on fitness in that way that most of us with busy lives don't have that option.
Yeah, well, I often say that in reference to, you know, because people put so much pressure on themselves to look like J-Lo, to look like Adele now, to look like whoever. And the reality is, if you're a normal person with a normal life and a full-time job and kids or like a hobby or whatever, you cannot compare yourself, because these people are literally making it their full-time job to look a certain way. And if you're, as Adele says in this interview, working out 2-3 times a day, that's basically your full-time job.
Yeah, and that's obviously, she's obviously, you know, has the luxury of saying, I've hired a trainer, they come to my home. I could, you know, I'm guessing Adele could like walk into one room of her house, do her workout, and walk back into the other and have her lunch and maybe see her kid, versus for most of it's okay, the gym will take me 20 minutes to get to you, then I go to the gym, then I shower. Like, it's just a different setup, but I appreciate her saying that. That's very Adele to be so honest about it.
I think so too. And I read in the other interview, you know, she said that she could understand why some women were upset by the transformation, and she said, you know, I think, I wish I had it in front of me, but she said basically what I said at the time that the photos came out about her. The conversation around her transformation was hard for women who have bigger bodies, because it was like, oh, now she's beautiful. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. First of all, she was always beautiful.
Yes.
And also, you know, and I said this at the time and it was taken out of context, and it was very annoying, and I still answer questions about it all the time, because people are like, oh, you said you weren't happy that Adele lost weight. And that's not what I said. What I said was, and what I will say again now, is that Adele is entitled to do with her body whatever she wants to do, as I believe everyone is entitled to do with their bodies with what they want to do, as long as they're not hurting anybody else. However, it is sad when you don't have many people who look like you in the public eye when one of those people is gone in any capacity. It's like, oh, you know, what was six people is now five, and that's a shame.
And even if it'd be like if Adele just retired and we never saw her again, you'd say, oh, it's a shame because she had a body like mine and it was always nice to see that.
Exactly.
It's, you're not actually saying, I wish you didn't do X. It's more like, oh, you represent this for me. And it's also just an example of the lack of representation of bigger bodies.
It's not actually about Adele at all. Yeah. It's about representation.
Yeah.
And when you have so few people, it means that there is immense pressure on those people. And there was, I'm sure Adele felt that pressure that, like, you know, what are people going to say? Am I letting people down? And of course, she's not, because it shouldn't be on her to represent every woman. It shouldn't be on any individual. It shouldn't be on the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And yes, it is growing, thank God, women who have bodies other than what is considered to be the, you know, the perfect body in the public eye. But when you have such little representation, that's what happens. But also, I did see a personal trainer I follow on Twitter saying, again, going at great pains to say, Adele can do whatever she wants with her body, but also she wants people to know that working out 2 to 3 times a day is not necessary.
No, it's just,
it's a lot. Like,
it's a lot on your body. And I'm sure, to be fair, look, Adele, I'm sure, has sat down with people short and said, how can I do this for my mental health and also works for me? But as you say, it's not the norm. Like, as long as we're moving around and like feeling like we've got something going on, that's the main thing.
Yeah, this personal trainer I follow was like, 3 times a week, loads.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and listen, you can listen, if you do want to go for a walk or gym or wherever, you can still listen to the new Adele music because it sounds like there's lots of it coming.
Oh, and again, like, can I just say the styling of those shoots?
Yes.
Stunning. She looks so beautiful. I love her. And I will read every word she ever says because she is so charming and funny. Yeah. And none of that has changed for me. I just wish the industry could get a little bit better about who they put in front of us. Because, you know, just by, for example, Lizzo is another example. Like, there's huge pressure on her. She's constantly having, like, major lashbacks at her. You know, if she says she's vegan, people are like, oh, are you trying to lose weight? And she's like, no, I didn't say that. And that's what happens when you've only got a few people who are representing a huge section of society.
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I just didn't let you say a word there.
No,
so sorry, I just went on apparently a massive diatribe. Sorry about that, Connor.
I'm just here to facilitate.
Okay, now, one thing I know nothing about, so you can tell me all about it, is Squid Game. All I know is that it's everywhere.
I've done this thing with Squid Game where I've read everything about it. Have I watched a frame of it? No, but I've seen millions of memes and I'm fascinated by the quote-unquote streaming wars, so I've read all about it, which maybe it makes you a hypocrite or it makes you a pop culture journalist. Take your pick. But it is, of course, everybody has probably heard of it. It is a Korean drama that is set to become one of Netflix, if not the biggest show ever on the platform. It's only been out about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks now at this stage. It's sort of a blend of horror and social commentary. It's hundreds of people competing in these what seem to be kind of recreations of childhood games people played when they were growing up, but with a huge cash prize. But if they don't win, they die. So basically hundreds of people risk death to win a life-changing sum of money. It's seen as a kind of commentary on class and like wealth disparities in South Korea and that kind of thing. It's taking over on Netflix and it's part of what experts have called this sort of rise in the success of non-English language content on Netflix. So something that we maybe forget is that 65% of Netflix users are outside of the US and Canada. Because in our heads, we think Netflix is American telly and library stuff. But actually, it is probably the most global of all the streaming services. And all the streaming services are playing catch up with their global identity. So there's a piece in Vulture for a site called Streamliner where they write about streaming. And they noted that in the US, K-dramas, as they're called, have become very big in recent years, and particularly in the last 2 years. And so when this show was commissioned, they kind of thought, well, this could probably connect. But Bella Bajaria, who is head of Netflix Global TV Chief, said that basically, we could not imagine it would be this big globally. We always knew it was going to be a big signature title for Korea, but there's no way to have anticipated how it would be this big. And of course, again, if you have seen the show or not, this is one of those, it's become like a LinkedIn style meme now in the last week of, but the series creator Hwang Dong-hyuk, who's told the Korea Times that it took 12 years for the show to get made. He said, after about 12 years, the world had changed into a place where such peculiar violent survival stories are actually welcomed. He said, people commented on how the series is relevant to real life. Sadly, the world has changed in that direction. The series games that participants go crazy over align with people's desires, hit the jackpot with things like cryptocurrency, real estate and stocks. So he said, it's now become a relatable story. And of course, in the LinkedIn vibe, it's like, never give up on your story or dream, in 10 years someone will commission, or I'm like, or the world will change so horribly that your pessimistic nihilistic view of the world will become relevant.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So good.
When you break that down, you're like, it's actually not that optimistic, is it really?
Great. It's gas. I think it's great to see a foreign language program have that success internationally. I did see there was a bit of a kind of hoo-ha on TikTok, where a TikTok user was saying that the Korean translation into the English subtitles was very poor. But actually, as it turns out, she was watching closed captioning as opposed to subtitles or dubbing.
No, closed captioning
She was watching closed captioning instead of subtitles. So make sure if you're watching it, watch subtitles. You'll get a better translation and you will miss less nuance there. Just a little tip from me to you.
But love how neither of us have seen it, but we know all and how to watch it properly. That's how you know you consume too much about pop culture. You're like, haven't seen it, but here's how to watch it.
It's because, and it's why we do our jobs, we can't not know. It kills us. Yes. The idea of not being able to partake in a conversation, we're not able. Yes. It's pathetic. I'm sorry. I'm going to include you in that. Both of us are pathetic, but it's made us who we are.
I remember once actually have a very specific memory of I watched the Beyonce Lemonade movie. I think I'd listened to the album, but I hadn't got to watch it. It took me like maybe 2 or 3 days after I came out to sit down and watch
Two or three days, Connor.
Right, exactly. And I was like, there was something going on with my family. I was really busy. And I remember I tweeted something like that and you said to me, it's funny how you felt like that was late because I would feel the same even though 3 days is nothing. In the, like think of it years later.
In the real world.
Now we're like 3 days, whatever. But at the time we're like, you need to watch this immediately.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's why we're here. It's why we're doing what we're doing. Okay, we've got lots more to talk about. As I keep saying, Justin Bieber and Diane Keaton together at last. Harvey Orkstein, that'll make sense in a minute. And lots of TV news. So that's all coming up after this.
Louise McSharry on 2FM.
That is Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak and Skate. Absolutely loving their joint collaborations. That's the only way you can have a collaboration is if you do it jointly. And I am joined by Connor Behan of 2FM, of course. And Connor, are you going to be back in the club soon?
Yeah, well, I've been DJing in the George, but we obviously just have been finishing a bit earlier. So we're returning to like full like late night opening on, well, the October 22nd is the first night, but I'll be back on the night before in the George.
How does that feel?
It's surreal. I'm kind of, as weird as it is to be doing these sort of half, these sort of early closings and DJing, it's actually been good to just get the muscle memory back and do work on the shows of the Queens, remember the bases, because I think if we went from 0 to 100, it would be daunting. Whereas like, I feel like I'm relearning so that I'm ready. It's like I'm doing like lessons before I return at the end of the month.
Well, I'm delighted for you. I can't imagine how hard it's been. Now, let's talk about Justin Bieber and Diane Keaton, the duo everyone has been predicting.
They said it couldn't happen and here we are. Now, so Justin Bieber and Diane Keaton have teamed up. Diane is in his new video for a song called Ghost, of course, as part of his album Justified. Is it Justified or Justice? Justice, sorry, excuse me. Now, I know there's a sort of a Bieber fan beside me. I don't want to get the album names wrong.
I'm a believer. Kind of.
Justice came out a while ago. There's now an expanded edition of the album out and, of course, a documentary a bit on Amazon Prime that just came out as well. And Ghost is the new single from the album. In the video, it's basically a song about Justin or Justin's character losing his granddad, and just Diane plays his grandmother in the video, and they sort of, you know, it's kind of like a mini family drama. Basically, it looks like a movie you'd watch on Amazon Prime on like a Sunday afternoon with a slight hangover. Like, I love Diane Keaton, I'll watch this.
And like, of course Diane Keaton is the right age to be Justin Bieber's grandmother, but still I was like, what, how dare you? In my head she's still like the mom from Father of the Bride. I can't get beyond that.
Yeah, and she's quite luminous and charming. She's kind of, I know it's such a cliche, but she's kind of ageist in a way, and just her vibe and how she dresses. She's a very unique sense of style. When she shared news about the video on Instagram, Diane said in all caps, "Am I dreaming? What an honor it was to work with Justin Bieber and his incredible team."
Yeah, I loved that. Am I dreaming? And like three question marks.
Are we dreaming is the real question.
Like, who knew Diane had this yearning to work with Justin Bieber? And it was her dream, apparently. It's wow.
So they actually met back in 2015 because Diane Keaton was on the Ellen Show in simpler times, and the Ellen Show was just the Ellen Show, not like nearly on its way out. And she kind of confessed having a bit of a crush on Justin Bieber.
Oh,
and, and Ellen kind of said, oh, that's so funny. And then they brought out Justin to surprise her. So I'm guessing that's maybe how they connected.
I have seen that. Wonderful.
Yeah,
Love this for them.
A journey they've been on.
So Andrew Lloyd Webber is still not over Cats.
Yes, of course. Cats came out in 2019. Critical commercial flop. Judi Dench, Idris Elba, Taylor Swift, Jennifer Hudson, amongst many big names involved. It's one of those iconic musicals, but also it is, you know, an acquired taste, I would argue, for even for musical fans. The film did not do very well. Andrew Lloyd Webber was talking to Variety about the return of Broadway, his career, etc. He said of Cats, it was off the scale, all wrong. There wasn't really any understanding of why the music ticked at all. He said it stressed him out so much that he said, it was my first time in my 70 odd years on this planet that I went out and bought a dog. So the one good thing to come out of it is my little Havanese puppy. But he didn't just get a dog. Andrew went full rich person nonsense with this and said, I wrote off and said I needed him with me at all times because I'm emotionally damaged and I must have this therapy dog. The airline wrote back and said, can you prove that you really need him? And I said, yes, just see what Hollywood did to my musical cats. Then the approval came back with a note saying, no doctor's report required. What a great like story. Haven't you seen what they've done to my little cats? They're like, we're so sorry, Mr. Lloyd Webber. Have
yes,
six dogs.
Immediately. Absolutely. Whatever you need, Mr. Lloyd Webber. I love it. Okay. Now, I mentioned that if you didn't know what I meant by Harvey Orkstein, you would soon. And I believe you have come up with this little.
I thought Harvey Orkstein, why not?
I love it.
It's a little play on words and it's the least he deserves of all the rot he's done over the years.
Explain to the people.
So Elijah Wood, of course, is one of the stars of Lord of the Rings. He was on the podcast Armchair Expert this week and he was saying how he was chatting with some of his co-stars in the film recently and they were remembering going to New Zealand to shoot the films years ago.
God, you remember? They were like a little club. They were obsessed with each other. I was reading a lot of celebrity news at the time, as I still am. And it was like, oh, they're all best mates because they were in New Zealand for like 5 years or something stupid like that, filming the films.
There was still filmed in New Zealand, but it did kind of put New Zealand on the map. Because
they all got tattoos.
And the locations were, you know, it's probably like gone away to summer camp, basically.
Yeah.
And he was saying how he spoke to Sean Astin, who was on about their first memories of going to New Zealand, and said that they saw the orc mass, which are the kind of villains and kind of baddies that are in the film in their thousands because they're everywhere.
Gross, evil characters.
And this is that one of the orc mass, I remember this vividly, was designed to look like Harvey Weinstein as a sort of FU. Obviously, Harvey Weinstein's now 2 years into his 23-year jail sentence after multiple accounts of sexual assault. He's been exposed as a bit of a pig, basically. But back in the day, back in the day, one of his many attempts, at wheeling and dealing was to try and get the Lord of the Rings books into films. He was working with director Peter Jackson for a while. Peter Jackson insisted that they do at least two or three films to do the whole trilogy. Weinstein was super difficult and said, no, it's one film or nothing. The films eventually went to New Line Cinema and of course became absolutely massive. And also you forget too, Peter Jackson kind of said around 2017 when all this Harvey stuff came out, he was like, I was told not to hire Mira Sorvino and Ashley Judd. I was told they were difficult by Harvey. I look back now and I realise they were blacklisted. So I think in a way, all of the Lord of the Rings people are like, do you know what?
That makes sense.
It's good to actually just remind us what an idiot he was because he was so awful for so long.
Yeah. Okay, I love it. Now, before I let you go, a lot going on in TV.
There is. Russia has jumped ahead of everybody else in the film and TV world, and they have sent a crew into space to film a new movie called The Challenge. It's a story of a Russian doctor who is sent to the International Space Station to save the life of a cosmonaut. It's interesting because there have been talk of Tom Cruise and Universal Pictures making a big budget movie in space, but apparently Russia have beaten them to the punch. They said that in reports that the actors and directors have had to go really intense training, like centrifuge and vibration stand tests, to basically be ready to take this on.
Ensure that.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? So, like, you know, there was this thing about Russia versus the US, and I'm like, well, in this sense, they have won the war. Another interesting story closer to home is people may remember the Irish movie Extraordinary, which came out a few years ago, stars Maeve Higgins and Will Forte. It's now being remade for US TV. A Deadline reported this week that US network TBS is going to remake it as a comedy TV series. It's been done by a production company called Animal Pictures, who include Natasha Lyonne and Maya Rudolph amongst its owners, who are going to work with Ireland's own Blinder Films and the directors of the film, Mike O'Hearn and Enda Lachman, on it. So that's exciting because it's, you know, an Irish story that has a lot of love for
it. Is Maeve going to be in it?
There hasn't been any reports if she will because it's an American remake, but, you know, she could still be in it because Maeve lives and works in the US.
Sorry. So it's not that they're expanding the movie into a TV series. They're making an American version of it. Okay.
But you never know. If Blinder Films and the director's involved, there's nothing to say Maeve couldn't play like a hilarious Irish character in the American setting.
I would love to see it.
Absolutely.
And tell me about House of the Dragon.
Yes, so Game of Thrones obviously is wrapped up, but there's been talk of prequels and follow-ups and spin-offs for ages. House of the Dragon is the first one that is actually happening and we know we're going to have. It's going to air in 2022. We got a teaser trailer this week. It stars Paddy Considine, Matt Smith, Rhys Ifans, Emma Darcy. It's going to be on Sky as well in 2022. It's the first of like five or six potential spin-offs that have been rumoured that haven't gotten off the ground. So despite the popularity of Game of Thrones, they've not been able to get the follow-ups going very well. So it's interesting that we're getting this one. It's set 200 years before the events of the first series and it covers all the big battles like the Targaryen, Civil War, and the aftermath of the Doom of Valyria as well. So if you're a fan, it's something because I know Game of Thrones did not end in a way that the audience was necessarily happy with.
Yeah, I can't. I, Sometimes things should just be over, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what I
not
mean?
Not with HBO Max. They're like, revive this, reboot that.
Well, in fairness, I wasn't a Game of Thrones fan, so it's obviously not for me. But I hope that if you were a Game of Thrones fan, you're very excited about it. That, and I mean that sincerely. Conor Bean, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
You shepherded us expertly through those stories this week. And
thank
I'm
you.
Sure we will talk to you soon.
Cheers. Thank you. Louise McSherry on 2FM.